Well, hey, we've been in this sermon series now for a few weeks, and we've got a few weeks to go. It's called My Summer Mixtape, and basically what I've done is I've gone back and looked at the last 20 years or 19 years, I guess, at Heartland preaching, and I've picked out some of my favorite sermons, and thought that would be kind of a neat idea. Actually, it was my wife's idea, and to go back and pull out some of those favorite sermons, and that's what we've been doing, and I've been re-preaching them. And today I want to share a sermon with you that is really special, because I believe that the subject matter today is something that, well, I know, I don't just believe, I know for a fact, it's something that every single one of us deal with on a regular basis, all day long, every day. And that is living our lives as Christians alongside other people who are not Christians. We all have that in our life. It can be in our families. Some of us have family members that are not Christ followers, that have never put their faith and their trust in Jesus. We have brothers and sisters and moms and dads and maybe kids. We have wives and husbands that are living in a home where one is a Christian and one is not a Christian. We also out in the workplace, we have people that we work with, friends and people that we've gotten to know through maybe years at a workplace that are not believers, or they don't see things the same way that we do. Their worldview is not the same as a Christian's. We have just regular old friends that are that way, and then just people that we come into contact with that hold completely different views than we do as Christians. So we're always rubbing elbows and involved in people's lives that do not believe the way we believe if we are a follower of Jesus Christ. And so that's something we all deal with. So the question becomes, what do we do with it? Does the Bible have anything to say about it? Does God have anything to say about it? Well, yes, he does. And he's got the passage we're going to look at today, I believe, gives us some great lessons on how we deal with living with unsaved family members or other people that are out there that don't have a relationship with Christ. How do we go about doing that? So we're going to talk about that today. But as we get into the subject matter, because it's such an important thing, and because God knows, he created us, so he knows us better than we know ourselves. And he knows something. He knows that when someone that has a relationship with Jesus Christ and their life is governed by the principles and the guidelines and the beliefs and the commands and all the scripture, you know, tells us, when our lives are governed that way, and that when we're living our lives with people, some people that don't see things the way we do, don't hold God's word to the same standard that we do, they don't live their life according to God's word, and that we're doing life with them, he knows something. He knows that creates a tension in relationships. And he knows that it can be very difficult sometimes for us to not fuss and fight and those kind of things and to live the way we're supposed to live. So he addresses it in Scripture. Matter of fact, as we get started, I want to share a couple verses out of a couple letters that the Apostle Paul wrote to a church in the city of Corinth. And he addresses this idea of people that are Christ followers and Christians, people that are not Christ followers and Christians, and their relationships. And he speaks to how should we or should we not have very intimate, profound, deep relationships with people that don't have a relationship with Christ. Should we have relationships? Listen to what he says. He says, "Do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers. For what partnership has righteousness with lawlessness? Or what fellowship has light with darkness?" So he's saying there's a natural tension between believers and unbelievers. And he says that if we can have a choice, if we're not in a situation, you know, sometimes we have brothers and sisters and people where obviously we love them, they're in our family. But if we have the opportunity, if we're entering into a relationship, we should not enter into a relationship where we're unequally yoked. Now, he understood, and when I say unequally yoked, that's not a word we use too much today, but Paul understood that because they, you know, back in biblical times, they lived in a very agricultural society, and one of the things that they would do is they would plow fields and those kind of things, and they would use oxen, and so they would use, sometimes they would take two oxen, they'd put them together, and they would put a wooden yoke around their neck. And so Paul knew that if the oxen worked together and they would work together and, you know, cooperate, that you could get a lot of work done and a lot of productivity and things would work real well. But if you got an ox, one that was stronger than the other, or one that was more stubborn than the other, and they just didn't see things the same way, and you put that yoke on them and they were tied together, that you just had a mess on your hands. Okay, you would just go around in circles, or you would, you know, it would always be stopping and trying to separate them, and because they were fighting, or they weren't, you know, one was not pulling as hard as the other, the rows crooked, and they understood that. And so when he uses this metaphor here, he says, don't be unequally yoked. He's saying that when you tie yourself as a believer, as a follower of Jesus Christ, that when you enter into a relationship with someone who does not hold the same worldview that you have and that does not have a relationship with Jesus Christ, that you're going to have tension and you're not going to pull together, and there's going to be strife, and there's going to be, you know, fussing and fighting and pulling in different directions and all those kind of things. Now, I'll speak to the guys for a moment, most of the guys, and the ladies too. You've seen this, but a more modern, probably, example of this is, like, if you're watching right now, you know, football, and you're watching football movie or something, you know, or you're watching a practice of a football, you'll see these like dummies, these four dummies. And there'll be these dummies on this thing, and the coach will be standing on the back of the dummies. He blows the whistles, and these big old burly guys will run up there and hit these dummies, and they'll start pushing them, and the coach is riding and screaming, push harder, you know. And you've seen that kind of thing going on, right? Well, if you get a real strong guy on one side and you get a guy that's not so strong in the other guy on the other side, you just go in circles. One guy's pushing harder than the other. It's kind of the same principle. So you get the idea that if you're not together and you're not in step with each other, that it causes problems, it causes tension, and things don't work the way that things are supposed to work. And so that's what Paul is referring to when he says, do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers. You see, when you become a believer, what happens is that you put your faith and trust in Jesus. And when you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit of God, God sends his Holy Spirit to indwell you and to live in you. And then you begin to live by the Word of God. So the Bible becomes your guide for living, and you begin to live according to the principles and the guidelines and the commands and all in Scripture and the stories and the lessons we learn from the stories. You begin to live by all of these things if you're a Christian. And then somebody that's not a Christian doesn't live by those same standards. So there's a natural tension that exists. And actually, a believer, someone who's put their faith and trust in Jesus, and someone who has not, are actually really polar opposites when it comes to the way they live their lives. Because what normally happens is a person that's put their faith and trust in Jesus, their priorities change, and so they live their life in a way that brings God glory. They're looking always God-focused. You're always looking, as a believer, I'm God-focused. I want to do everything in my life to bring him glory so that I'm doing what I'm supposed to do, what I was created to do, and I want to live according to his word. And that's what, so I'm all about bringing God glory. A person that doesn't have a relationship with God isn't interested in bringing God glory. They're interested in bringing themselves glory. Because if you take God out of the equation, what happens is it becomes, instead of it being all about God, it becomes all about who? Us, right? It becomes all about us. And so there's this natural tension that exists in a relationship where one person's living where it's all about God and another person's living where it's all about them. That's why he says, do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers. Now think about that just for a moment, just to give a couple of examples. Think about marriage, and think about two people that are married, in a marriage, or they're married, and if one person has a relationship with Jesus, and so they live by the Word of God. They try to be the kind of person that God describes in the Bible. They live that way. They want to raise their kids that way. They make their moral decisions that way. Everything is based on the Word of God. And then you've got another partner in that marriage, and they don't have a relationship with God, and so they don't give that much weight in the relationship. Can you imagine the tension that would exist in that relationship? You know, okay, I want to get the kids up on Sunday morning. I think we ought to go to church. And one of the kids says, well, I don't want to go to church. And the mom says, I'm just using this mom or dad, whatever, but I just one parent says, mom says, well, we're going to church because that's what we're supposed to do. When we have a relationship with Christ, that's important. God is important in our lives. And then you've got a dad over here and he's, oh, I'll just let him stay home. It's not all that important. Well, can you see the tension that would exist? You know, you can see that. Now, then what about in a situation where you've got friends? It's just friends. You know, somebody that's your real good friend and you have this deep relationship with them and you're a believer and they're not a believer. And all of a sudden, you know, you go out, you decide to go out one night and just go out and have some fun. And their idea of having fun and the things that they want to do are probably going to be contrary to what you're going to want to do or what you believe is the right way to have fun because you're following God's standards and they're not following God's standards. Now there's tension. Can you see that? There's tension. What about business? I mean, sometimes, you know, you can get involved in a business and you can have business partners and one of the business partners is not a believer, is not a Christian, and the other person is. So the one person that is a Christian, they're going to live by biblical guidelines. They're going to have integrity and character, and they're going to be concerned about being truthful and honest, and it's going to be about, the business is going to be about the right things. And then all of a sudden, there comes an opportunity for the business to make a whole lot of money, but in order for you to make a whole lot of money, the business has got to bend the truth a little bit. Well, now the Christian business owner says, we can't do that. That's not right. It's just, we can't do that. And then the other person goes, it isn't that bad. Nobody's going to get hurt. We're going to make a lot of money. Now you got two business partners. You know why all that's happening in the marriages and why it's happening in the friendships and why it's happening in the businesses? Because they're unequally yoked. That's why it's happening. And that's what Paul is talking about when he says not to be unequally yoked. Well, that's all well and good, but what happens when you are unequally yoked? There are marriages where if two people started out and maybe neither one of them were Christ followers, but somewhere along the way, one of them became a Christ follower. Now they're unequally yoked. And now there's some tension in the home. There's somebody that entered into a business deal and they didn't stop to really figure out if this person was a Christ follower. And now they found out that they don't live by the same guidelines and principles and ethics and morality and all those things that they do. And so now there's a problem. Or maybe that's in friendship. What do you do if you're already there? That's what I want to talk to you about today. Now, before I get started, I want to say something about marriage really quick. Because I know that we have a big crowd and we have a lot of services. So when we have all these people coming to church, that when I stand up here and say, you should not be unequally yoked, there will be someone today out of all the people that will say, finally, I have an out. Right? They'll say, and this is what they'll go home and say, Pastor Ed said so. Don't do that. Because just because you are unequally yoked does not give you an out in your marriage. I want to make sure that you understand that. Matter of fact, listen to what the Bible says about that. Paul's writing his first letter to the Corinthians. He says, if any brother, if any man, if he has a wife, a Christian, this Christian has a wife, and she's an unbeliever, and she consents to live with him, he should not divorce her. If any woman has a husband who is an unbeliever, and he consents to live with her, she should not divorce him. Now, that's pretty straightforward. Now, you might be asking, why? Well, here's the reason. Because God's plan is this, that if you're already unequally yoked and you're in a marriage, then God wants you as the Christ follower to live your life in such a way and to demonstrate and exemplify everything that Christ stands for so that that person, your spouse, can see Jesus in you and that you will pray fervently for them and you will show them through your life what it means to follow Christ, and Christ wants to use you in that environment to bring them to himself. So that's what he wants to see happen. That's why he says you can't leave. Now, the Bible does say, and I need to make this clear, it does say that if a believer is married to an unbeliever and that unbeliever decides, I'm out of here, the believer can let them go without God condemning them for doing that or saying that's a sin or whatever. If the unbeliever, but if you're a believer, you don't have an out. So I don't want you to say that. And we videotape these so I can show you that I didn't say it. Okay, anyway. Okay, so anyway, what do we do? What do we do? Well, let's read this passage of scripture from Romans chapter 12. Romans 12, 14 through 21. It says, bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Never be wise in your own sight. Repay no one evil for evil, but give thought to do what is honorable in the sight of all. And if possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. To the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him something to drink. For by doing so, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for these instructions on how we, those of us who have a personal relationship with you, are to live our lives alongside people who don't have a relationship with you. Father, help us to learn from this today. Help us to listen. Help us to take it to heart and to apply it in our lives so that we can better be witnesses for you, so that we can live our lives in a way that will bring you glory. And in the process, God, we can have better insight into people's lives and better influence on their lives. And God, we thank you for that, and we pray this in Jesus' name. And everybody here said, amen. All right, well, I'm going to break today's message into two major sections. One section is going to deal with things that you and I can do if we are a Christ follower, what we can do to move in the direction of people who are not Christ followers. And then the second section is going to deal with how we respond when someone who's not a Christ follower sort of moves aggressively towards us in some way. So we're going to look at both of those sections. Well, the first thing that we see is how we reach out to unbelievers. And as we look at this passage, the first thing we can see is that as Christians, as Christ followers, the way we reach out to unbelievers is that we should be a blessing to them. We should be a blessing to them. Romans 12, 14 says, bless those who persecute you and bless and do not curse them. In other words, we need to love people even if they're not followers of Jesus Christ. They're still people created in the image of Almighty God. They're still people that God cares about and wants to have a relationship with. And so we shouldn't hate them, even if somebody lives a completely different lifestyle than we approve of. We should hate the sin, but we should love the sinner. Okay, we should love them and care about them. We should pray and ask God to bless them. We should ask God to work in their lives. And then we should understand, listen, we should share the gospel with them when we have the opportunity. We should ask God to bless them. We should love on them. We should share the gospel when we have the opportunity. We should tell them about Jesus when we have the opportunity. But let me just say this right up front as I get started too today. If a person is not a Christ follower, listen carefully. We should not expect them to act like a Christ follower. Did you hear what I said? If a person is not a Christ follower, we shouldn't expect them to act like a Christ follower. And so that means that in your relationships with people who do not have a relationship with Jesus, they're not going to act like you do. Or I hope you're not acting like they are. Right? And so that means we need to be aware of that. If I were talking to a bunch of Christians, I would say lost people act like lost people. Because why? They don't have a relationship with Christ. The Holy Spirit of God indwells believers. The Holy Spirit of God does not indwell people who don't have a relationship with Jesus. So there's obviously going to be differences in the way they act. But we need to be a blessing to them. We need to recognize they're not going to act like we act. And when they don't act like we act, there's ways that we should respond in love and in kindness. We shouldn't be mean. I don't like mean Christians. I grew up a lot of my life seeing a lot of meanness in Christianity. There's still a lot of meanness today. You're just a sinner. You're not doing it the way it ought to be. You ought not be doing that. I'm telling you one thing, you're going to hell. You're da da da. And all, well, hey, even though things may be true, that is not the way to approach people. And Christians shouldn't be doing that. We should be a blessing to people. Right? We got too much divisiveness in our country, in our world today. We don't need Christians being mean. I saw a movie one time, it was like Mean Girls or something like that. They're probably going to make one of these days called Mean Christians. But we need to share the gospel when we can. And so how do we do that? Well, the next thing I see here is we need to empathize with them. Okay, Romans 12:15 says, rejoice with those who rejoice, weep with those who weep. One great way to reach others is through empathy. You know, now this does not mean that you condone sin. This does not mean that you don't look at something that someone's doing and go, oh my goodness, that is not right. That's not wrong. If it's going to be harmful, it doesn't mean that you don't have a loving, kind conversation with them about what's going on in their life. That does not mean that in any way. But it means that we have empathy. Do you know that people that don't have a relationship with Jesus, they suffer heartache and heartbreak and anxiety and stress? Things don't always go that their way, just like it doesn't for Christians, right? They suffer the same things. Why? They're created in God's image. And so you and I need to reach out to them in love and in kindness and embrace them. You know, I remember when I was growing up, I don't know, there's all kind of expressions you hear, but you ever heard that expression that people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care? You ever heard that? You can attract more flies with honey than you can vinegar. You ever heard expressions like that? Those expressions are saying, listen, that people are not going to listen to you if you're mean. If you're just trying to lord over them, you can't, as a believer, you cannot beat somebody into submission to our Lord Jesus Christ. You can't argue them into submission. It's not even your job to do that. Your job is to be kind and compassionate and let them see Jesus Christ living in you. And when you have the opportunity to share the love of Jesus with them, and then let the Holy Spirit do the changing. God didn't put you on this earth to whip people into shape. Probably if you think he did, then you need to be whipped into shape. We have to earn the right to share the gospel with people. We need to come along beside them and put our arm around them and recognize and empathize with what they're going through. I know this. Before I was a believer, I had the same difficulties in life, many of the same difficulties that I have now. The difference is that now the Holy Spirit of God lives inside of me, and I have faith and trust that my God's going to help me get through the things of life. But back in those days, I still had the same hurts, hang-ups, and habits, and I was looking for an answer. And you and I have the best answer in the world of those hurts and hang-ups and habits. His name is Jesus. And so we need to share with people in a loving and kind way. We have that great message. And the next thing is that we need to live in harmony and humility as believers. Romans 12:16-17 says, live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty. Ever known a haughty Christian? Just wondering. But associate with the lowly. Never be wise in your own sight. Repay no one evil for evil, but give thought to do what is honorable in the sight of all. Do everything you can as a believer to avoid conflict and trouble with unbelievers. You can share your faith, but you don't have to argue with someone. It does no good to argue with someone. It does no good to try to lord over somebody. It does no good to beat them over the head with your Bible. It's not going to help and make you feel better, but it's not going to help them. You've got to empathize. You've got to show them that you care, and then they'll be interested in what you know. But we shouldn't be puffed up and act like we know everything. We should respond in a Christ-like manner. That's what we've got to do. All the things that we've talked about, all of the things, or how we need to respond to people, how we need to reach into people's lives. We need to be a blessing. We need to empathize and care for them and love them and pray for them and be a part of their life, be a part of the conversation. When we are part of the conversation, when they know that we care about them and they know that we love them, they will have conversations and they will listen to us. But if we just yell and scream, we're not going to accomplish anything, and we're not representing our Lord when we do that. Well, the rest of the passage sort of deals with how we respond to people when they don't treat us real well. If somebody doesn't have a relationship with Christ and the Holy Spirit doesn't live in them, they don't live by the same guidelines and principles that we do. They don't believe the Bible or whatever. They don't live by that. They hold it. They have different moral standards, ethical standards. They believe that it's pretty usually people. If you're not focused on God, the focus is on yourself. And so they believe it's all about them. And so sometimes, because they believe it's all about them, they will treat you badly. Sometimes they'll make fun of what you do believe, or they'll push back on the things that you believe. They'll tell you that the things you believe are stupid. They'll tell you all these kind of things. What will happen? Well, how are we supposed to respond when as believers, when non-believers push back against us? How do we do it? Well, first of all, we respond in peace. This is a great verse of scripture. Romans 12:18 says, if possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Who does the weight of that fall on? Who's responsible to live at peace with everybody? Who? Me. You. Right? Here's the way, okay, let me put this in a way that maybe it'll make it plain. This is the way I see it. I'm kind of weird, I'm visual. But, you know, one day we're all going to go to heaven if we have a relationship with Jesus. One day we are going to stand before our Maker. All of us are going to stand before our Maker. And the Bible says we're going to give an account of the deeds done in the body. So we're going to give an account of our lives. I don't know how that's going to work. I know that eternity is a long time. It lasts forever, never, 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 never. And so God's got all the time in the world. There's no time limit on all this stuff. And we're all, I don't know if there'll be a long line and we'll all be standing there waiting for our turn. He can talk to you. You ever think about this? He can talk to you for 10 trillion years just about your life. He's not running out of time. I don't even want him talking about me, about mine for 15 minutes. I don't know you, but trend, he could talk to you 10 trillion, gazillion, bazillion, I don't even know how to say the word, years. But can you imagine, you step up there and it's your turn and you're there before God and he goes, well, hey, how you doing there? You know, I'm just looking over your life and thinking about your life and you know, there was this unbelievers and some people in your life that came along and they didn't agree the way you were and you really weren't real nice. Why? Well, you know what he's going to do? He's going to go, talk to the hand. He goes, there are four people back in line, and I'm going to talk to them for a while too, but right now I'm just talking about you because what they did, what they said, how they treated you, that thing that they did, it doesn't matter at all in the scheme of what you and I are talking about. I gave you my word. I told you how to act. You're supposed to do what you're supposed to do, even if they don't do what they're supposed to do. So what did you do? But they... Not interested. Like I said, I'm going to talk to them in a little bit. You see, we can't look at how people that don't believe, we can't look at how they treat us. We can't look at the things that they say, the things that they do to us. Because here's the deal. It doesn't matter what they do. It matters what I do. It matters what you do. That's what matters. That's completely the opposite of the way we're taught in our culture, in our world. It's always someone else's fault, isn't it? Well, the reason I acted this way is because they did this. It doesn't matter what they did. It doesn't matter what she said, he said, they did. It doesn't matter if they punched you or if they didn't punch you, if they stole from you, if they lied about you. It does not matter. What matters is what you do because you belong to Jesus. And that's what you're going to be held accountable for. God places that responsibility square on your shoulders and on my shoulders. So how do we respond? We don't strike back. We don't strike back. Romans 12:19 says, beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. Remember that people that do not have a relationship with Christ act like people who do not have a relationship with Christ. And because of that, they live by the world's standards, not by God's standards. And they live for themselves, not for God. And when you live with people like that, you're going to get hurt from time to time. As a believer, they're going to say hurtful things and do hurtful things. But God says the way I'm supposed to respond to them is by letting him handle the injustice. Our natural tendency is to strike back. But he says, don't do that. He says, I've got your back. Trust me. So we respond by not striking back with goodness is the next thing. Romans 12, 20. To the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him something to drink. For by doing so, you will heap burning coals on his head. You see, by grace, we should respond to whatever evil is done against us with practical deeds of good. We should live for Christ. Somebody starts ripping into us and screaming at us and cussing at us, we shouldn't start screaming and ripping back and cussing back. We shouldn't do that. We should respond kindly and with the love of Christ and demonstrate that that's just not, and if that, you know, we can tell somebody if they're doing that, we can say, hey, you know, I don't want us to yell and scream, and I don't want this kind of language, and if we're going to talk that way, then you know, probably not going to talk anymore for right now. Wait till we're all cooled down. You know, you back away. You do that. But we're showing that God does good even to his enemies. We're showing how Christ would teach us to respond to unbelievers. And we can do that with confidence. He says in verse 21, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. We can be confident that God is on our side. He doesn't want our relationships to be defined by who wins a conflict. You know what? I'm going to say this. I'm probably going to make some people mad, but I've seen a lot of, over 20 years of being a pastor, I've seen a lot of marriages end. And here's a sad thing about that. Now, some of them, I get it, and I know why they ended and all that, and I'm not picking on any specific person, but I'm going to tell you what. A lot of marriages get into conflict, but here's why the marriage ends, because somebody's got to win. It isn't about Jesus. It isn't about God. He's out the window. It's just that I'm going to look good when all this is over. I'm going to win. That's not the way we're designed. It's not the way God wants us to see the handle thing. Can you imagine if in a marriage, both people did what we've been talking about today? But that's not the way we're wired naturally, and it's hard. But we follow his guidelines. He gets involved and he helps. So we can be confident knowing that he's on our side and that he's fighting for us. Now, I know that all these things we've talked about today are opposite of the way culture handles things and the way that we see things happening in the world around us. It's probably, if I'm really honest and if we're truthful, probably in most of our homes, it doesn't look like the way it's just described. There, if I stood up here and told you that it has always looked like that, you know, I sometimes wonder, I don't know how people look at preachers. You know, I hope y'all never look at me and go, well, he's preaching all that, so he gets it all right 100% of the time. You would be badly mistaken. Just pull Nancy aside and ask her. I've got a sin nature in me, just like everybody does. But I also have the Holy Spirit of God in me, and there's a battle for the righteousness of God that takes place in me. And sometimes I do stupid stuff. And I say things I shouldn't say, and I act in ways that I shouldn't act. But I ask for forgiveness, and I know that my Heavenly Father is just and fair and faithful in his forgiveness because I've put my faith and trust in his Son, Jesus, and he forgives me. But every day I have to work at it. Because when somebody says something bad and they insult me or say something stupid and listen, people will tell me something stupid. People will tell me I've wasted my life doing what I do because it doesn't mean anything. You know what I want to do? I'm just going to be here. I am going to demonstrate. I'm not going to say a word. This is what I want to do. Just saying. But you know, I can't do that. Because if anybody deserves that, I deserve that from my Heavenly Father, from being such a sinful scoundrel, and yet he sent his Son to die on a cross so that I could be forgiven of my sins. So I need to extend that same grace that he extended me and keep my hands in my pockets. He wants us to love people. If we're going to get along with people and we're going to make an impact for the kingdom, and if we're going to share the love of Jesus with people, then we've got to be people that understand that it's not our job. It's not our job to yell at them. It's not our job to scream at them. It's not our job to beat them up. It's not our job to ignore them and shun them. It's our job to enter into their world and be salt and light into their life. It's our job to love them and understand that they hurt and understand sometimes their hurt is a result of sin in their life. and to share with them how Christ has changed our life and how much he loves us and how much of a difference it's made in our life. And that's the way we're supposed to respond to unbelievers. They're not our enemies. They're pre-Christians. You are one, and in my mind, they're just waiting to be one. And we need to tell them about Jesus, right? And love them and care for them. Maybe you're here today, and maybe you're here today and you're not a believer. And maybe you look around and you've said, well, you know what, Ed, if people that were Christians treated me the way you're talking about today, I probably would be a Christian, but that's not been the case. Well, here's the thing that I want you to know. We're all messed up. None of us are perfect. We don't get it right all the time. But I can tell you this, when you put your faith and trust in Jesus, and he sends his Holy Spirit to live inside of you, it sure does make it a lot easier to try to start getting better at it. And so I would encourage you today not to be discouraged if you've been treated badly even, but to trust Jesus. Don't put your faith in people, put your faith in Jesus. So maybe you're here today and you need that relationship. The Bible says if we confess with our mouths that Jesus is Lord and believe in our hearts that God raised him from the dead, that we will be saved. So I'd invite you today to pray and to ask Christ into your life. If you're serious and you're sincere and genuine, it's coming from your heart, pray with me right now. Just say, Jesus, I'm a sinner. God, I love you. And God, I want to have a relationship with you. And so, God, right now I'm asking you to forgive me of my sins, and I'm asking you to cleanse me of my unrighteousness. I'm asking you to transform me and make me a new person and to give me a new heart. God, in the best way I know how right now, I'm committing my life to you. Thank you for forgiving me of my sins. Thank you for saving me. And I'm praying that you will help me grow in my relationship with you. In Jesus' name, amen. Maybe you're here today and you are a believer. But the truth of the matter is, when you face unbelievers or people that don't believe, or when you face somebody that has a different idea about things than you, you get worked up and you just scream and yell. And maybe there's even some bad blood between people and you because of the way that's been handled. Maybe you can go back and review what we talked about today. You can pray and ask God to help you handle your life with other believers, unbelievers, the way that, with unbelievers, the way that we talked about today. Maybe you need to recommit your life to Christ. Maybe you need to come up to one of the crosses and put a prayer request on the cross. I don't know what you need to do, but we're going to stand up in just a moment and sing. And as we sing, if you made a decision to follow Christ today, here's what I would love for you to do. You stand up, just slide out, go to the back. We have people back there by the doors, and they've got purple shirts on. They say prayer, and they got a little lanyard on. And they are there to answer your questions, to help you, to pray with you, to tell you where do you go from here in this new Christian journey or whatever. Maybe you're a believer and you need to just pray with someone. Do whatever God leads you to do. Maybe you need to put that prayer request up on the cross. You pray about it. Ask God what he wants you to do. And if you'll follow his lead, I promise you, you can't go wrong. Stand with us as we continue to worship.